This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back. Welcome, Wells Tech listeners, Wells Tech viewers, to episode 413 for October 6th, 2015. It's 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. We're right where we need to be, and I'm joined by the person that I need to be with at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, and that's my buddy, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are things in New Ulm these days?
There's a chill in the air, and the leaves are turning, so lovely place to be.
Leaves are turning, but all the students are there. They're learning. It's a neat place to be in the fall, actually, I think. Good. We have a podcast to do here, episode 413, and we're kind of back in the swing of things. It was good last week to go through one of our educational technology sessions with Gail. Kind of felt natural, felt comfortable.
Always nice to have Gail and Jason join us on the show. They bring a lot of expertise, for sure.
I think you're right. We actually have an old friend joining us on this show as well, pastor or missionary. Mike Hartman was in New Ulm, and you had a chance to sit down, or we had a chance to sit down with him. You had the chance to sit right next to him and talk a little bit about, get a little bit of an update on his mission activities, and talk a little bit about our topic of the day, which is feedback, trying to figure out how we're doing based on asking the right questions and having open ears. You and Mike actually go back a little ways, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We were kind of reminiscing about that when he visited. He and all the mission team in Mexico actually worshipped with us via online worship streaming for a period of about 6 months when they relocated to the León area. So they reached out to us and actually sent us some feedback. So it kind of ties into feedback because there were improvements that we made in our worship broadcast because of them there at St. John's and Sleepy Eyes. So really neat. He visited our congregation, did a presentation for the school there. And I remembered that it was when his second child was born, because she was just a tiny infant, really newborn. And he told me she's going to turn 7 this year. So time flies. And just a blessing to have that relationship. He actually provided the Drapers with some candy from Mexico. So his girls had actually gone and picked out different types of candy that they wanted to share, some of their favorites, including a mango lollipop with chili peppers on it or something. It was kind of crazy, but some of their favorites, and the Drapers were happy to try it out. We had some favorites and some that didn't quite sit well with our taste buds.
It was acquired tastes.
Yeah, neat cultural experience. And we also got to go and worship at St. John's here in New Ulm, where Pastor Hartman led their mission festival Sunday, and or Saturday night and Sunday. And so just a wonderful treat to connect with Missionary Hartman.
Yep, he's a very talented and interesting guy. He always is an interesting interview with a lot of things going on. Very, I'd probably call him entrepreneurial. He's looking for our different ways to conduct ministry. That's kind of what we're about as well. And so why don't we go ahead and play that interview, which we recorded when he was on campus there just a few days back, and then we can circle back and talk a little bit about feedback and gaining feedback.
Joining us today is Missionary Mike Hartman. He is actually here in person at Martin Luther College. We're thrilled to have him up for some time with the MLC students, and brought along a traveler with him from León, Mexico.
So, yeah. Welcome. Thank you. Yeah, we're here for a few days connecting the MLC students to some of the stuff that we're doing, the Spanish students, and since Grandma and Grandpa live here in town, we brought our 6-year-old first grader Noelle is spending a few really special days with Grandma and Grandpa while
Daddy
does some work. So.
Very good.
Mike, just to refresh our listeners, tell everybody what your position is and where you're living these days.
Sure. I am a missionary, and I live in the city of León, Mexico, which is right in the middle of the country. It's about the same size as the Twin Cities. And about 2 years ago, I was called to serve as the coordinator for Well's mission work in Latin America.
Okay. And the last time we talked with you, you had probably just started a pretty major project, a digital project that has turned a lot of heads lately. So maybe we ought to start there with maybe a little bit of an update. What's going on with that?
Well, sure. What we're trying to do in Latin America is use the communication tools God has given us to do ministry. And that means really we want to connect people to the means of grace, and we want to connect people to each other. And we have a couple of different resources that we're using with that. We use Facebook quite a bit. That's kind of one of our goals is to become a known entity in Latin America. Latin America is the region of the world that has the least number of Lutherans. And so we want to simply become someone that's known. And then we also have two websites, AcademiaCristo.com, or Christ Academy, and IglesiaLuteranaCristo.com, Christ Lutheran Church. And that's basically an online teaching resources and an online church. And so those, we launched things at the beginning of February, and or at the end of February. And now this last, God is blessing it in ways that we, beyond really what we expected or hoped for. I was realizing our Facebook page now has 133,000 people following the page.
Wow.
And which is as far as I know, I could be wrong on this, as far as I know, that is the largest Lutheran Facebook page, that at least that we are aware of. And we are growing. In the last 3 months, we grew by over 80,000 followers. And then we use that really as, like, you would think of online canvassing resource, or you might think of doing mailings. So we share the posts and such. We try to share it with a large number of people. And then we invite people to our website, and Academia Cristo website. We have Bible studies that are available for free. They're video connected with question and answer sheets that you can go through. But then we have the Come Follow Me movie that we've been promoting. And in the last 3 months, over 80,000 people have watched that video on our website, and over 30,000 people have downloaded a copy of the video from our website. So that gives us a way to, again, get out there, get good, solid doctrinal gospel message out there. And then when people come and visit the site, we work to connect with them personally. And there are different ways that we use, different tools that we use. One is live chat. And if you go onto the website, Academia Cristo, I think, you can share it here.
Let's see.
Mike, while she's pulling that up, how is it that you can connect with so many people? I mean, you've got huge numbers here, and I'm sure you don't have that many staffers or volunteers to handle that.
Well, one of the keys here is trying to get a lot of people to do a little bit and all work together. Multi-language publications has been really huge in helping enable us to do this. Mm-hmm. And then finding different people, for example, we have different volunteers. We have a volunteer in Puebla, Mexico, and a volunteer in Monterrey, Mexico, who post things. We have others that their job is to respond to people. So we try to get a lot of different people involved in that type of in this ministry.
So this looks like a real-time chat. So you have the ability for somebody to click a button and say, let's have a conversation.
Yes. An example, we had here Julio, who's on right now. He's actually a pastor in La Paz, Bolivia. So a person comes on and they'll be invited to chat. If they have any, it says there, hi, how can I help you? And you can chat with the person in real time if you wish. And then this, for example, last week or 2 weeks ago, we met someone in Honduras who connected with us this way. And they said, hey, could you please, know, I see this stuff. I'm actually leading a group of people. I have a church, but I've never had received any training. And just, you know, had it in their heart, they wanted to share God's word with others and said, would you, could you help me? So now this person has been connected with a Colombian pastor who is studying every week with this person online. And what's, I think, a kind of a cool thing is in the last 3 weeks, we have had two online confirmations now from our online church. So Christ Lutheran Church, we have a person from a man from Venezuela who was confirmed just last week, and then 3 weeks ago, a lady from Argentina was confirmed. And both of these are people who have a real desire to bring God's word to others. The lady in Argentina wants to start a Bible school, Saturday morning Bible school for kids in her house. The man in Venezuela wants to start a Bible study in his house. So these people can then be connected with missionaries and with national pastors who can help do stuff via long distance, and then also, you know, look at how can we do face-to-face visits too with these type of people. So you use Facebook to reach a lot of people, and then as it goes through this, we try to filter through to identify people that really want to connect with us, that reach out to us, say, please help me, and then we start getting them into simple training programs and bringing them into our church, God willing.
Yeah, Mike and I were visiting a little bit beforehand, and he likened it to the time of Luther, when there's a population that's really hungry for the word and wants to learn more, and Luther brought it to them. You know, that's where the catechism came from and such. So
I think that if you look at Latin America, according to the Pew Research Center, 90% of Latin America is Christian, but that doesn't mean that they understand even the basics of Christianity. And Luther at his time, you know, most of Europe at that time would have called themselves Christian, but people were very poorly trained and people didn't understand the basic of gospel message, but the leaders had very little training. I think that the average eighth grade Lutheran elementary student in our eighth grade schools has received more Bible study and doctrinal training than the average pastor in Latin America. And so this is something that we are really strong in. You know, our seminary does an awesome job. Our schools do an awesome job of training leaders. We need to take advantage of our strength and let more people know about that. And that gives us an opportunity to get solid gospel message out to people, but also to be able to really teach people who are interested and approach us and ask for help.
The topic of our show today is feedback, and I'm sure you put just a ton of effort into kind of building this program, trying to figure out what all the pieces are, how they work together. But I'm sure you're also very interested in not as much, not only speaking or preaching, teaching, but also listening, trying to gain the feedback from those people who are, you know, joining your Facebook page, joining the website, getting instruction, trying to figure out how well you're doing. Tell us a little bit about that process and what kind of tools or approaches you're using to kind of keep your ears open and make the program even better.
Yeah, sure. I think that, you know, when you first initially brought up the feedback side of it, I thought, man, well, we don't use a lot of these specific tools. There's a lot of tools out there to gain feedback from others, and we aren't using a lot of those tools. I do think that part of feedback is really promoting an atmosphere where people are willing to talk openly about things that are share openly. One example, we have had, I think it's 2,600 people that have registered on our site. So they've signed up to receive these Bible studies and stuff like that. And when we would contact them via email, we weren't getting a really good response. The number of emails and stuff that we would send out, inviting people to, hey, do you want one of our teachers to help show you this stuff? We weren't getting a really great response. So what we did, one of our missionaries went, and we have a group of, I call them, I don't even know, it's not an official group, but these are five go-to guys. They're all leaders. They're leaders in five different countries. They're all Latino. And basically, when we have an issue, these are the five go-to guys. and we want to talk to them about, we want to get their reaction to this, and we talked to them about this issue, and they said, why don't you try using WhatsApp as a way to, which is a digital texting tool that's really popular in Latin America. So try using that as a way to contact people. So we did, and immediately our response rate significantly increased. So I think there you see the advantage of, with feedback, there is, you want to sometimes get everybody's input, but there's also an advantage or a real blessing to have some, the real go-to people that you know, I can talk openly, and I know they will tell me what they think. And so that's been one of the things that's important for us.
Definitely. Great.
So when you when they register, you are getting their WhatsApp
When we register, in order to connect with someone via WhatsApp, you need to have a phone number,
right?
But when we register, then we'll get information from them, and then we can invite them to be a part of a WhatsApp group.
Okay.
So
interesting. Yeah, kind of a foreign concept for us stateside because it's not that popular here, but huge outside of the U.S. So
yeah,
it's an iMessage kind of a concept, but everybody's using it outside the U.S. So. Interesting. So you listened. I mean, you kind of did an analysis and said, "Hey, this isn't working. We need to figure out what else we can do." Do you get a lot of feedback through the Facebook page itself?
Yeah. In fact, I think if we share the screen here of Facebook, one of the things that I find really helpful on Facebook is their insights page. And if you have a Facebook page, you can go, everybody has this page automatically, but Facebook will give you a lot of information, and it's statistical information. For example, here you can see our Facebook page. You look here, we have 133,000 people following the page, or it tells here this is we had 4,000 new people liking the page this last week. So it's actually a bad week for us here. Last week we reached 1.5 million people with the posts and such that we're putting on Facebook. Now that's, you got to think of that as just like sending out flyers or mailers. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people that goes in their feed, they don't
necessarily engagement, but it's yeah. You know, a touch, right?
And then here's the engagement. This will tell you how many people actually interacted. And so you see, though, for example, last week, 65,000 people clicked that they liked something, or there were 5,000 comments, 16,000 people shared it, or 56,000 post clicks, mm-hmm. and people clicked on something. But where the feedback really comes in is down at the bottom of this insight page, you can follow other pages. And you click right here where it's pages to watch, and you click on add pages, and they'll suggest pages, but you can also pick pages that you want. And then you can follow it. And the way that I find this to be helpful is it helps you to see how you are doing compared to how other pages out there are doing. So you can see, for example, you can take the number, this is the number of people following each of these pages. And so if you look at Academia Cristo has 133,000 people following the page, you can compare it with other groups that have other number of people following. Now, I do think this shows one that how Facebook is different in Latin America, and also we're using it differently than some people. You know, everybody can have their own reason for using Facebook, and we are literally using it to try to make a lot of noise to get mm-hmm. to be known. So, but you can compare how you're doing with others. You can also compare engagement. And so here you have Academia Cristo. We have 139,000 followers, 55,000 people engaged last week. Well, you can compare that. For example, here is a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has 83,000 followers, their Facebook page, and 17,500 people engaged. But how this is useful is if you take the engagement divided by your followers, you can find out a ratio. You know, how many of the followers are actually engaging, and you can see how you compare with others. And so then when we put things up on our post, we can kind of know, is this something that people are noticing? Are they paying attention? I mean, obviously, we're not going to adjust our message by what, you know, people think. But the style that you make of the post, for example, Academia Cristo Facebook posts typically have a lot more words in them than a stateside Facebook post. Well, different cultures have different things that they like, and images that are appealing or colors that are appealing in one culture might not be appealing in another. In fact, when I was
doing some of the Facebook posts, I would actually purposely pick colors that I did not think looked good together because I would find that those would actually share more. So there's a way to compare with how you're doing. You can also hear, if you click on yours, you can see your top posts and see some of the details of your top posts. And then you can compare it with others. For example, let me just open this.
I turned off screen sharing.
Yeah, you're not sharing.
I hit it too quickly. Oh, sorry.
Here, let's do it one more time.
Well, you're looking at that. I think, and I've said this before, these tools like Facebook provides, like you can get through Google Analytics, are probably very underused, or people don't know, first of all, that they exist or what to do with them. But it really comes down to good stewardship. The more you know about your efforts, how well you're doing, and it's not just a marketing thing, it's a stewardship thing where you're figuring out, I put all this effort into it, and we thought this would do this and that would do that, and at the end of the day it didn't. That is God telling you, yeah, you either do it differently or don't do it. But you have to kind of be in tune with and in a habit of saying, yeah, I'm going to look at this stuff.
Yep. Exactly. And it is the Facebook things, all this information is free. You can access it. It doesn't cost anything. But here you can see your top posts. And for example, this one, a lady who is a Lutheran, she's a youth group leader in the church in Monterrey, Mexico. She put this up last week and it reached 101,000 people. We had 2,000 people share it. Yep. So, but you can compare yours with other groups. And again, you have to recognize different groups are using Facebook in a different way, but it gives you some insight into how are you doing and how are people reacting to what you're doing. So
very interesting.
Definitely. Obviously that you have other ways of communicating with people besides Facebook, but even with Facebook, a lot of the communication is open channels where they can talk back to you. So I would imagine you get a variety of comments and maybe that's where your go-to team kind of gleans out and figures out what direction to go with those comments, but it's probably some feedback going on just through the open channels.
Yeah, and if you're going to use Facebook in a big way, you do need to have people that are monitoring what goes up. Mm-hmm. We had a big issue in the news here in Latin America was a recent letter written by the Pope concerning abortion and indulgences and stuff like that, and that was a really big news item. So we decided we needed to publish a reaction to it and then share that. And so, I mean, you can imagine those type of things are going to have a lot of different comments and different opinions. Mm-hmm. And so it is important to have people that are, their job is to basically pay attention to that stuff. So,
And managing all those people and getting the feedback together, it must be quite a production that you guys do to kind of pull all that in and have so many people involved in doing it.
And I think the church is a body, and so it works well when everybody does a little bit and works together. And Multilanguage Publications now manages all the Facebook stuff. So they're the ones that are taking that over, and they're the ones that are doing that. And then as the missionaries, we want to find out who the people that want training from, and those are the ones that we're looking to closely work together.
Awesome. Very good. Very good.
Mike, thank you for stopping by and visiting with Sally a little bit and sharing some of your knowledge with us. Really exciting ministry, not just because of the numbers, but obviously, the important work that could happen one soul at a time, and it seems like that is happening. God's blessing that. So continued blessings on that, and blessings on your time there in New Ulm. You are, what are you doing up there today?
Today I'm meeting with MLC students, doing some workshops. We're getting connecting them with some of the ministry that we're doing, and so I'm doing that, and we'll be at St. John's here in New Ulm doing the Mission Festival this weekend.
Very nice.
Great to have you on again. Thanks, Mike.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Mike, interesting information as always. Just exciting work, and boy. Seems like God is really, really blessing those digital efforts down there.
Okay, so we recorded that maybe 5 days ago, and I had to just head over to the Academia Christo Facebook page to see that it's no longer 133,000 people that like the page. It's 137,000 people that like the page in 5 days. So you're right. I'm excited, and Mike is certainly encouraged by the response to it. But such a humble servant. He reminded me when we were done with the interview that it's God's blessing that's causing it, not any of their efforts, but God's will that it spread this way. So
God's word will not return to him void, and that's certainly what's happening there. Neat. I don't get a lot out of it. I'm a follower, so I see him through there.
But no hable, huh?
I'm not a Spanish speaker. So yeah. No hable, yes. So a couple of things I guess we could explore, Sally, talking about feedback. Mike certainly talked about a certain brand or kind of feedback, just kind of measuring what they're doing, talking about the Facebook analytics portion. But he also talked about those kind of trusted group of advisors who have their ear open. And that's, I think, a really important concept that when you're doing something in the church or school, it's good to have people that you can trust, and not only that you can trust, but that you dialogue with on a regular basis and ask for honest feedback, not just a group of yes men or women that are going to say, yeah, we're doing a great job, or, you know, but can talk about the harsh realities or share the critical feedback that is necessary to take and grow from and make changes from.
Yeah, I think we actually got the idea of this discussion from Tom Plowman when we talked to him a few weeks ago, and he talked about how they put a lot of effort and creativity into planning for their worship services there at the Core in Appleton, but they also ask for feedback and, the trusted group, that kind of thing does kind of weed out the extreme answers, because almost always you're going to get some people who just detest everything and some people who love everything, like you said, who are just yes men kind of people. So I like that concept of the trusted group, but I do think the church and school is a place where you can ask for feedback. Find out how things are going, different than polling people for what they want to do in the future or whatever, but actually asking and acting even on what people's opinions are about the things you're doing right now, like in a school. Maybe it's something as simple as the car line and how the pickup and drop off kind of situation is going for the parents. Unless you ask, you're not going to know, because you're not out there in a car and experiencing it yourself. You have to ask what their experience is like and whether it's working well for them or not. So just a little example, maybe on the church side, asking about Bible study opportunities and the content that you're covering and the times that it's being offered and things like that.
Yep. And if you're going to ask for feedback, obviously it's important to capture it and let people know that they've been heard and do something with it. And there's really nothing I think that we do as organizations, as churches or schools or faith-based organizations, that you can't ask for feedback on. It's just a good practice to get into, and I think once you create an environment, and I think Tom talked about that and Mike talked about that too, create an environment where it's acceptable to solicit and to give feedback, and it's not a bad mouth and critical thing. It's a very helpful growth kind of thing where we're really looking to give God our best and trying to figure out whether we did that or not, or how we could make it even better. Fortunately, today there's all kinds of ways that you can set up to gain that feedback with the websites that we have and some of the surveys that we have. There's all kinds of forms, tools. We've talked about a lot of these before that we kind of discussed in our pre-show meeting. We have Jot Forms, we have Final Web Forms, SurveyMonkey, Google Forms, WooFoo. All of these are, I think, pretty easy to use tools that can get the job done.
I agree, Martin. And, you know, a little learning curve with each one of them, but they go from pretty basic to very sophisticated, so that if you wanted, for instance, kind of a choose your own adventure kind of experience, depending on what they answer, to send them one direction or another, branching forms and things like that are capabilities that are out there and not beyond our reach. Some of it you can do for free with tools like Google Form, or you can step up to paid versions of things like SurveyMonkey and JotForm. I was involved in a survey we did here at MLC to get feedback on our website, and we actually uploaded the people that we wanted to ask, and we put them into different groups so that when they responded, we could section off our responses from the students who answered versus the alumni who answered versus the faculty who answered, that kind of thing. So you can get very, very sophisticated. We have one guide we're going to share in the show notes. It's from Grammar Girl, and she actually gives you some good lowdown on how to write good survey questions and things to avoid as you're doing surveys.
There's definitely an art to that. There are many different approaches. One thing that I've thought a lot about in creating surveys is whether you ask for people's names or not, or whether you allow them to be anonymous in the response process. And I've believed for a long time that I find anonymous responses less useful. Some people may think that it's the opposite, where people are going to be freer with their thoughts and share more if they don't have put their name down. But what do you do with that information if there's any kind of follow-up that you want, or if you want a meaningful dialogue around a different topic? I think you have to really encourage them to be honest. And if you've created that environment where you said, hey, it's okay, you know, to offer constructive criticism, to give feedback, both good and bad, put your name on it so that we can talk about it, versus what I think happens on the internet all the time when you see comments that go into, you know, newspaper articles or even, you know, elsewhere, blog posts, where there's just kind of drive-by kinds of comments that aren't overly helpful. If somebody's forced to put their name on it, then I think they're going to give it a little bit more thought and maybe even be more useful is kind of my approach. But again, it's going to be up to you how you feel about doing that, but I think that's the way I would lean.
You know, just kind of going off of one thing that you said there, I think that communicating regularly that you're looking for feedback, for instance, having an open form on your website, your church or school website, where people could give you feedback on something, communicate that, ask them for it, encourage them to be honest, that kind of thing, is going to go a long way towards getting valuable or usable feedback. So there's kind of a learning curve for the people that are responding to you, that they have to understand that you want it and you're not afraid of them not liking something you're doing and things like that. And you know, that takes some regular, what's the old marketing adage? You have to tell them so many times before it sinks in or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think the same is true here. You have to be consistent in communicating that. Maybe it's a line item in your standing in your church bulletin every week, you know, and remember, we want your feedback. Go here for the latest forms or whatever, so that there's consistency there and that they begin to understand and see results from feedback that's been given, and it just opens up those communication channels even more.
Yep, I think so too. And you started a very good point there, and I think you have to almost treat this like any other program within your congregation or school. Promote it, promote it, promote it. Make sure people are aware of it. Think of different ways to engage people, different avenues. You think you need to be creative sometimes too in how you solicit, you know, that feedback. One other thing I want to mention before we leave this, when you're dealing with the analysis part of what you do with the information, obviously you want to share it back. Say, hey, we heard you. These are some of the comments we heard, blah, blah, blah. Take it to the appropriate people. Have the appropriate conversations about the feedback. I think sometimes we get feedback, and we have that here in the Senate office too, where there, we get that squeaky wheel reaction where we hear one person who seems to want to comment on everything, and I think everybody's kind of experienced that, and then you want to react to just that single voice. And that's not always the best approach, because that may not be representative of the way to go. So just, I think, be aware of that and ultimately figure out how to address that. I get that with the Wells mobile app a lot of times, where I'll get a single response saying, well, we need this, or this doesn't work, or whatever. And it's a very isolated thing. So I kind of have to look at all of the feedback that we get and try and figure out what the common denominator is, and then make some smart choices, because you could run down a lot of rabbit holes taking individual feedback by itself without kind of vetting it. And that's another reason, I think, to put a name with feedback is, you know, if it's a very passionate thing, go out and reach out and say, let's talk about this, is what is really the issue, and kind of ask the why questions, you know, what is the root cause, and et cetera. So.
All great feedback, Martin, and hopefully some of our listeners out there are already doing this kind of thing. We'd love to hear from you if you have some feedback loops built into your church and school systems, and how they're working for you, what kind of experience you've had, what kind of tips you can share with our listeners. So please don't be a stranger. Head on over to wellstech.wells.net and give us your feedback on the topic of feedback.
Nice segue. Gives us an opportunity to let everybody know that, you know, that website's a great place to go. Email, you can email us, wellstech@wells.net. All the social networks are out there for you. Join our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, those kinds of things. All kinds of just nice channels that you can provide that feedback. Don't be shy.
We're listening. Yeah.
We are listening. Yeah. And a lot of the things on the show right now are different from our first show because of that feedback. So.
Very true.
All right, let's move along to our next segment, which is News in Tech. And Sally, I don't know if you are a Chromecast user, but we've got a couple Chromecasts in our home, and I want to let everybody know about some exciting news in the Chromecast world. They've launched some new ones, and we're going to put a show note link to a Wall Street Journal article, but you can do a quick Google search and find out all about the new Chromecasts that have launched. First of all, maybe a little explanation about what Chromecast is. It's an HDMI dongle, so to speak, that you plug into your TV, which acts as a little streaming device. So that and the appropriate app on your smartphone or tablet will stream content, could be a YouTube video, could be Netflix, could be whatever, from your smaller screen to the bigger screen. So they've made some nice improvements. You have some designer colors now, red, yellow, black. It's now round instead of like a USB flash drive. So you plug this in. It needs power, so you need to connect it to either to a powered USB port on your TV, which a lot of them have now, or they provide a little USB plug-in. But lots of improvements, improved Wi-Fi capabilities. There more and more apps are being supported with this. More and more people can get on the system a little bit easier. I think that was one of the challenges right away with the Chromecast, is, you know, connecting to it. So you can have kind of guests come in and use their apps and stream to it. So you can do a little sharing that way. You also now have another Chromecast kind of device, and that is what they call Chromecast for Audio, which you can plug into any powered speaker, and it becomes a Wi-Fi streaming speaker. So you could hook these up throughout your house, coordinate or stream audio to each one of them, have the ability to synchronize them, just hooks up with an RCA cable, and then you can use apps like Pandora or RDO or Google Play Music or Spotify. Just click on the cast button, and music is streamed. These work a little bit differently. So you're actually not streaming from your device to the Chromecast. You're actually dictating to the Chromecast, go out and get this content and stream down to yourself. Your device then acts as kind of a, you know, a pause or play or channel switcher. These devices are very inexpensive, $35 a piece. So they work well. Sally, you a Chromecast user?
Funny that you ask, Martin. We were just shopping Friday night and bought an old Chromecast. I guess I'm taking it back, though. Go get the new one. Just in time for Christmas. We should start seeing this kind of thing come out more and more as Christmas is on the horizon, and they have a nice price point there. It would be a good little gift.
It's pretty reasonable for what it does. It allows you to stream that. You know, cut the cord for a lot of people if you just use your app and stream to it. So
mm-hmm. We saved ours for Christmas, so it's not open yet. So I think I can take it back still.
Very good. Our next segment is called Wells Now, where we talk about things happening within the Wells community. What's going on in Wells?
Well, we're happy to announce a brand new weekly devotion that's being produced from the Early Childhood Ministry office. It's Early Childhood Ministry Educators Devotions, and they started up just a few weeks ago, and you can get it on the website. They have devotions published weekly that you can read and or listen to. There's a audio podcast version of the devotions as well. So these are specifically for early childhood ministry educators, you know, and the things that they deal with and the world that they are a part of, those little lambs that they have the privilege of shepherding and some encouragement from God's Word specifically for them. But, you know, we can all be encouraged from God's Word. So maybe it's for moms of tots and things like that as well. So
yeah, I think there's definitely check it out. There are homeschoolers, lots mm-hmm. of different, I think, audiences for this particular podcast. It's great, and it's awesome that it's in text and audio format. So we'll be adding it to the Wells mobile app here soon in the next release, so that you'll be able to listen to it there as well.
And there's the ability to subscribe and get the text version emailed to you on a weekly basis as they're released. So check out the link in the show notes and you'll find all of that.
Very nice. Next up is our picks of the week.
Not sure why I stopped sharing screens. I should quit pushing that button. It's a theme. So I want to share my screen one more time for my pick of the week. It's a website called 3D Hubs. And we've talked some recently on the show about 3D printing. And it's a up-and-coming technology breakthrough that's allowing people to print, and we're doing it in the Draper household, and we're learning more and more about it each day as my husband built a RepWrap 3D printer. And one thing we discovered was this website 3D Hubs, which is basically a network of people with 3D printers who are willing to print for you for a price. So if you have something you'd like 3D printed, you can upload your file. I think it has to be in .stl format, which is something that 3D printer people know about, and things that are available out on the web that you can even download to have 3D printed in that format. And once you upload it, you select a hub, they call it, which is someone who does 3D printing. We had someone print for us in the Minneapolis area. We just found him through 3D Hubs, and my husband and him corresponded. They agreed on what the price would be, and later we went by his house and picked up the parts. They were actually taped to his door because he wasn't at home, but it was kind of odd going into a neighborhood in Minneapolis and finding our 3D printer parts, but it allowed us the opportunity to get the parts we needed before we had the 3D printer ourselves. And, you know, this is going to become more and more prevalent. Just recently we had a broken car handle door, and we actually were able to print a 3D part to fix what had broken inside the car handle. So more and more we'll be doing this kind of printing to fabricate our own solutions for challenges and things. And so it's exciting technology, and it's neat to know that you can find someone local to tap into to print something if you need something printed or just are curious about it and want to give it a try. 3dhubs.com is the website.
Yeah, I know when we've talked to Jason, he's big on this, and I know a lot of our Lutheran high schools are definitely trying to get some of these 3D printers in front of the kids, and Sarah's definitely a future. I can, you know, gone are the days where you got to pay, you know, $150 for a little part probably that you did by yourself to fix your door handle. Just amazing. And probably had to wait 3 weeks to, would have to wait 3 weeks to get it shipped to you even. Amazing.
It is.
It's going to be a lot of application for this. So, all right. My pick of the week is another iPhone or iPad app, and it's actually one of the built-in ones. We don't talk a lot about those, but I'm going to share my iPhone screen, hopefully. So there's my home screen. Those of you that are watching the podcast and those of you that are listening, I'll describe it. So my typical apps there, and I've got the newly minted podcasts app on my home screen now. And the podcast app, it does just what it says. It aggregates all your podcasts. And I'm a podcast listener. I have about a half hour commute in to work and out back home and do some traveling as well. If I'm on an airplane or if I'm you know, traveling to another location, I try and make use of that time by listening to podcasts. I had been using a paid for program called Pocket Cast, which did a nice job, but I thought I would try the free podcast app that Apple puts out. I had tried it long ago and wasn't overly happy with it. It was a little buggy. The inner user interface was not great, but they've made some nice improvements to this. So they've got a featured screen where you can pick some, you know, popular ones. All kinds of things are available in podcast format these days. You can look at the, you know, the top, you know, the chart toppers like This American Life, the TED Radio Hour, Stuff You Should Know, How Stuff Works, all kinds of stuff. I think we've even talked about Serial before from This American Life. Just a lot of variety here. So they've got all of those listed. You can search for podcasts with the app. So you just type in a search term. And then you can see, obviously, the ones that you've subscribed to. One of the things I like is you can create your own category. So I've created one called Wells. I don't have any upcoming ones because I've listened or watched them all. But that's where Wells Tech would come in, or our devotion, or Through the Bible, or, you know, the early childhood one that you just mentioned, Sally, in Wells Now. And then there's an unplayed section. So you can kind of see all the things that that are available that I haven't listened to. So once you click into them, so I'll click into Wells Tech, our Wells Tech audio podcast, which is available on iTunes and available in the iTunes app. It doesn't have to be on iTunes to plug in here. You can plug in a URL and it'll pull it in as well. So you'll see the unplayed section, and I don't have any unplayed here, but if I go into the feed section, you'll see all of the podcasts that we have, and you can click on these. It'll play them or download them, share them. Lots of things that you can do. You can configure the app so that you can say, well, download the last two episodes, or when I'm done, delete it from my device, those kinds of things. They've done a nice job with the update, and with this latest iOS release, this was one of the things that they were working on. They had a few bugs that they had to iron out with the 9.0 release of iOS, but those, I think, are in the past, and just a nice, quick little app, does what it's supposed to do, and does it in a kind of a visually pleasing and very functional way. So that's the Podcasts app from Apple.
Well, thanks for the walkthrough. I've used the podcast app, but I hadn't looked at it since the 9.0 update. So it does look a bit different and user-friendly.
Yep. Now, I normally use Wells Mobile for the Wells-sponsored stuff, but for all the other stuff, that's what I would use with the the podcast app. Let's move along to our ministry resources section.
And just a good opportunity to reiterate some of the websites that Missionary Hartman shared, the Academia Christo Facebook page, website, and the Iglesia Luterana Christo church site, where they're streaming worship services on a regular basis, and also have a lot of other downloadable video content and things. You know, we have a great audience, Martin, that are primarily English speakers, I would expect, since we broadcast in English. But I think all of us have Spanish-speaking contacts. Perhaps in the church or school setting, we have members or prospective members who are Spanish-speaking. And I think Mike alluded to it a little bit in the interview we did with them. But one of the goals is to connect with people in America who are Spanish-speaking and connect them to these websites, and also through them connect to their families in Latin America as well. So I encourage our listeners to make use of the websites and share them with their Spanish-speaking friends. I think it's a great, great ministry tool that you can tuck in your pocket and have available to share. So check out the websites, tag them or save the links however you can, and make sure and share those with Spanish speakers as you encounter them.
Great. I have a sneaking suspicion that our featured video also has something to do with our ministry in Mexico or Latin America.
It does, and the other theme of the show is that I quit sharing my screen too quickly, but we do have a featured video. It's actually a detailed update from Missionary Hartman, about a 10-minute listen and watching, and a chance to learn even more about the work that's going on through the Latin American missionary team and through those websites we just featured. So check it out and learn more about the important work that Missionary Hartman shared with us.
Always nice to know what to pray for, and that's certainly something we'd all want to do. Mm-hmm. Next week, we are excited to bring you the second edition, chapter 2, of our book, With All Your Heart. We're going to be talking about project management again for churches, schools, and faith-based organizations. So we've written another chapter. We'll have another sway out there for you to take a look at. And in that sway, we'll have an interview with James Monkey. James Monkey is a teacher at Luther High School in Onalaska. He talks a little bit about a big project that he is a part of each and every year, and some of the approaches that he takes to managing that, and how to plan for it, and how to get the job done. So you'll want to tune in next week when we talk about project management and how to figure out what to do next. So I'm looking forward to that. Hope you guys are as well. You may notice that we didn't have any community feedback. If you missed last week, you missed the announcement that we're kind of doing this a little bit differently, at least for a trial period here. We're not going to do community feedback each and every week. We're going to wrap them all up together and do a full show of just community feedback. And that'll be the week after next, Sally, am I right?
I think you're right. Yes, okay. Sir. October 20th, 2 weeks away.
Don't think you're not heard. Please don't stop giving us community feedback. We really want to have a full pack show in a couple weeks. So send us that community feedback, wellstech@wells.net. Go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Leave a comment. All kinds of ways to get in touch with us. Maybe even a voicemail. Just go to our show notes page and click on the blue bar on the right-hand side, and you will be able to tell us what you think with your very own voice. Sally, I think that's going to about do it. Let's do this again next week. It was so much fun this week. Hope everybody will return and bring a friend. Don't forget, if you are available on Tuesday afternoons at 4 o'clock Central, you can join us live and ask your questions in real time. Make comments, direct our conversation on the show just by being a part. So wellstechlive.wells.net is the place to go for you to tune in live at 4 o'clock Central Tuesday afternoons. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Blessings. We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.